everybody, bang the table. It's the latest edition of the All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon, here today to discuss the growing rivalry between the Bears and the Lions. Great stuff kicked off by Amon-Ra St. Brown, who does a podcast with his brother for the 33rd team. And each and every week, it's a nice inside look at two brothers who have reached the highest level of football. And what makes it fun is Equanimeous St. Brown plays for the Bears and Amon-Ra St. Brown plays for the Lions. So there's the inherent competition between two brothers, the great trash talking that takes place each and every week from Amon-Ra and his brother. It's a great dynamic. It makes the show interesting. And what you've seen online over the past several months, if you're someone like myself who's on Twitter, or you're a sports fan and you're browsing social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, the Reddit, where all the great trash talking takes place, you are starting to see a growing rivalry between the Lions and the Bears. Lots of trash talking from what I think is a jealous fan base in the Chicago Bears when they see all the success, all the hype, all the positive press that is coming the Detroit Lions' way. You start to see the jealousy of the Bears fans, and it's great because the Lions in the last contest really had their way with the Bears at Ford Field. And many people that, you know, really support the Bears are just looking at the Lions, seeing that the NFL world has picked the Lions to win the NFC North in 2023. It just sits with them all wrong, and especially Equanimeous St. Brown, who has to sit there and listen to Amon-Ra talk trash. And Amon-Ra stoking the flames a little bit, and we'll talk about that. One of the NFL media's pundits went on the air, and also, you know, a noted Chicago Bears fan went on the air and talked a little bit more trash as well about the Lions. But I love it. This is what football is about. It's about fan bases going back and forth. Bears fans talking about the Lions' historic history of losing, not being able to close, always being overhyped, telling Lions fans to calm down, that their excitement level is far, far too early and premature because the Lions haven't done anything yet. And granted, I understand that. I understand that, you know, the Lions have been largely at this point hyped up by the media and fans. They still haven't done it yet. They still have only one playoff victory in 5 and 6 decades, last playoff victory being in 1991. So I definitely understand those fan bases that say, hey, wait a minute. You know, even in 2022, everyone's talking about how great the Lions season was. But in the end, it is still a complete season. The first half of the Lions season was not that great. And then they went 8-2 and finished the year 9-8. But when you see the talent level, when you see what the Lions have been able to accomplish, it's just been great. It's been a great opportunity to see the Detroit Lions build and emerge. And then you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's great. Young cat that's doing a podcast, understands what it's, you know, what it's about, being able to give supporters of the Lions and those that follow his show an inside look at kind of what he's thinking about certain things, what he's thinking about the Lions, the NFL, and also giving it a little bit, rubbing it in with and trash-talking his brother. And recently, Amon-Ra St. Brown was in Kansas City to announce one of the Lions draft picks and, you know, had an opportunity to kind of browse, see the landscape of what was going on out in the crowd. And he felt the need to take out his cell phone and film the dichotomy between the Lions fans who were all about it. And man, Lions fans travel, especially the great group of supporters that the Lions have, some of the Hall of Fame fans that they have that go places, that go to a lot of games. They were excited. They were passionate. They were cheering. They were up and chanting and just really, really excited. And then he pans and he sees the Chicago Bears supporters, and they're just kind of sitting there docile, just looking all quiet and with their heads down on their phones and just kind of looking like they were there. And so Amon-Ra has to look at that and goes, man, you guys got the worst fan base ever, he tells his brother on the show. I can understand why Bears fans would not be excited or would not be happy. They probably have no clue who the heck you guys drafted. He started listing off some of the draft picks and basically saying that the Bears took players that nobody would know, that nobody would even feel passionate about. And so Equanimeous just had to come back and, you know, talk about, you know, the fact that they were tired or just relaxed or just, you know, waiting in the wings for the next pick and had to defend Bears fans. But Amon-Ra dropped the mic on them by highlighting it and putting his thumbs down in a great screenshot and really rubbing it into Bears fans. And they did not take too kindly to Amon-Ra doing that. And it's just adding fuel to the fire, which is great. The NFC North is one of those great divisions that deserves good rivalries. And the Lions have traditionally had a rivalry with the Packers. But now that may be taking a new turn now that Aaron Rodgers has left. But Bears fans did not take too kindly to what Amon-Ra did. And they've just been angry. They've been frustrated. And I can understand. They kind of are in a similar boat to the Lions, having a new general manager and new front office and developing a new head coach and having a quarterback in Justin Fields and then making moves in order to try and rebuild. Obviously, last year when they decided to move on from talented linebackers that they didn't want to invest a heavy amount of money in and started the process of you know, setting forth their new path, you understand the Bears were in a rebuilding process. So the Lions at the tail end of the season coming in did not face one of the vaunted Bears defenses, and they took their way. They had their way with them at Ford Field, and it was great because the narrative going into that game was, could the Lions stop Justin Fields? And by and large, they were able to at times. I mean, Justin Fields is a great, talented quarterback. But the Bears were in a rebuild mode, and now they're going to have to contend with the Lions, who are in a good position, a very solid position, to stake their claim in the NFC. So with all that attention, with the betting world loving the Lions, with a lot of positive press, obviously people are now, at this point after the draft, starting to look to the schedule and look to their 2023 predictions. And one noted Bears fans, a noted Bear fan, and who's on NFL Network, who stoked the flames before, Adam Rank, understands what he's doing. He's a Bears fan. So when there's a chance to throw some shade at the Lions, he's not going to pass up on it. And he's a big wrestling fan. So he uses a wrestling metaphor talking about Cody Rhodes. And to set up this clip, Cody Rhodes is a professional wrestler who many believe was going to win a match at WrestleMania against Roman Reigns and become a champion. But it didn't happen. It surprised many people because there was a lot of expectation that Cody Rhodes was going to go on and win a big match. So Adam Rank on his on NFL Network Total Access had an opportunity to preview what's, you know, going to happen in 2023. And one of the five things he said he was looking forward to was the Detroit Lions collapsing and losing, like they always do, like he said. So Adam does a good job of fanning the flames in previous season predictions. You know, after the schedule's released and after mini camps and stuff, most pundits will start to do record predictions. And Adam would always have the Lions at 4-13 or 4-12 and have them have way under 500. Sometimes he's been right, to give him credit, and he has owned up to some of those decisions. But man, has he drawn the ire of Lions fans. So let's hear what he said in his recent, you know, discussion of what he's looking forward to in the 2023 NFL season.
The Lions being the Lions. Speaking of supergroups, people are out there loving the Detroit Lions, acting like they're the defending NFC champions, people expecting them to be in the playoffs. This is the Detroit Lions. What you expect should be more losing. Listen, I know you're expecting a win. I was across the street a few weeks ago at WrestleMania when I thought my friend Cody Rhodes was going to defeat Roman Reigns to win the WWE title. It didn't happen. And the Lions believe they're on the cusp of a dream season. Let's hope for their sake it's not an American nightmare.
Every time I see the ref, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, so Adam always brings the wrestling analogies to his analysis, and people are like, "Huh?" And it's always great to see the it's great to see the NFL Network announcers try and figure it out, try and understand the reference. But I did, and it's very good. Adam understood. it's very good to see the fan it's very good to see this growing rivalry emerge, because it just makes it interesting. The two games, people are going to be very excited to see what happens this year. And this Lions fans come to expect it. I think that when you look at it, to see fan bases, they're jealous. They're definitely, to have this level of concern definitely indicates that the Lions have caught the attention of the NFL world. And this is great. When you go out there, and I think the Lions do a healthy amount of trash talking, but they've backed it up. So when they've done it, I think it's just been a great way to kind of get yourself to, obviously, you know, bring attention to what the Lions are doing, bring attention to the winning. And I think that's always good to stay, you know, to be respectful, but at the same time, to be able to, you know, be respectful to your opponent and understand that, hey, you can trash talk, but you got to go and back it up. And the Lions did that. The Lions were able to do that when they were a team that was struggling and things like that. Of course, other fan bases have piled on. There's been the age-old SOL narrative that's been permeating Lions, you know, history for forever. So to turn it around has been great. And I pulled up here, for those that don't know, here's what Amon-Ra said. And again, he's stoking the flames. Listen to what he said and listen to how he describes the Chicago Bears fan base.
You see my video? You see how deflated they looked? I'm like, oh my God.
Bro, what do you mean, bro? They're resting their energy. They went crazy for the pick. They went crazy for every pick.
They look deflated. Like, you guys during the whole season type, like, just down.
Bro, you guys had a terrible season too.
What?
They just look deflated. I'm like, I gotta get a video. I was really walking past. I was like, no way. Let me walk back. Let me record this. They were literally like this on their phone to me. You should see, like, it was the worst fan case ever. Like this on their phone. Just tired. You see the Lions accent just turn lit.
Bro, we know what we're doing.
They were standing up and you guys are sitting down. That tells me everything.
Because they spent so much energy going crazy for our picks that I was like,
going crazy for who?
Crazy, yes. Ecstatic.
What pick?
What do you mean?
Darnell Wright. I know you're not super happy about that.
I am ecstatic.
Gervin Dexter. They don't even know who that is. Tyreek Stevenson. They don't know who that is. Dak Pickens. They don't know who that is. Roshan Johnson. Running back two to Bijan. Like, they don't know. Right receiver Tyler Scott. They probably went crazy for a receiver.
Oh, man, it was good stuff. Oh, man, he even went further and said that nobody knows who the Lions, who the Bears picks were. That's classic, classic Amon-Ra. And that's what their podcast is about. You can check it out at the 33rd Team. It comes out, you know, pretty much weekly, and it's a very good inside look at what Amon-Ra's thinking, good personality, and somebody that likes to have playful fun with his brother. And poor Equanimee has to sit there and take it. And the visual is great because you got the Bears fans and they're just real. Like I said, it's a real interesting look how a player in the NFL views things. And it's an inside look because sometimes, you know, NFL players can be buttoned up. They don't want to say too many things. But on his own show, Amon-Ra will stick it to his brother a little bit. And then it makes it for a situation where when the Lions play the Bears, you have an added level of interest. You want to hear what Amon-Ra's going to say. You want to hear the recap afterwards. So, again, the NFL world is jealous of the Lions, and they should be, because the Lions are doing some great things. They're adding talent. They have a little bit of pizzazz. They have a little bit of that kind of swagger that you want. And that's all led by Dan Campbell and that coaching staff. Remember, the Lions coaching staff is filled with a bunch of former players. So you have these former coaches. You have these former players that are now coaches, and they're also in the mix, too. They're excited. They want to see good plays. So for the Lions, now you got to back it up, obviously. You have to this year. The primary goal, I would say, is the Lions have a couple things they must accomplish. Obviously, you need to build upon what happened in 2022. You can't take a step back. So at the very minimum, the floor is 9 wins. And now moving forward, it is very much expected that this football team is going to take the next step, which means probably the first goal would be in the early part of the season. I know it's tough because Jameson Williams got suspended, but I think the offensive output can be made up with Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs, because the Lions offense was rolling even without Jameson Williams. I buy that argument that, hey, this Lions offense was purring really without one of the top young up-and-coming wide receivers. So you add Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta, and you have an emerging Amon-Ra St. Brown continuing to grow. That offensive line is still largely intact. David Montgomery as well. So I think you've basically you have the offense in place that can still move it forward and score a lot of points. I don't have any concerns about the offense. Now, on the other side of the football, the defense, you hope that they stop the run a little bit more. You hope they get off to a faster start. You just don't want the defense to be the worst in the league. So hopefully they get into the second tier and maybe be in that ranked 10th to 20th kind of thing instead of being ranked 32nd and 31st in a lot of major defensive categories. So I'll look at that and I'll say that obviously start off fast, improve defensive metrics, continue the success on offense, and you got to win the division. You have to in this division with Jordan Love, with the Vikings, who you would expect probably are not going to have another 13-win year. You would expect that some of the luck, the football luck, that they were able to establish in 2022, just so many comeback wins, you would expect that they're going to fall back to the pack. And now there's a new football team, a new emerging football team in the Lions. You would expect that they kind of step in, understand that now it's their division. It's their division to have and to grasp it and to really understand. And you saw how great it was. 5-1 last year, the only loss being that controversial loss to the Vikings in which Dan Campbell made a rough decision in regards to kicking the field goal instead of remaining aggressive like he's been. And it was a decision that Dan Campbell said really still eats at him. One more win. And maybe that's the win. Maybe it was the Carolina Panthers. Maybe it was that loss to the Vikings on the road. But it was early in the season. Maybe it was that Panthers loss. I believe those two games probably are sitting with Dan Campbell in a wrong way, just eating at him, going, man, if we just made one extra aggressive decision against the Vikings on the road, go 6-0 in the division, or if the preparation was different, if the outcome was different against the Panthers, one more win would have put the Lions in a position to maybe even earn a playoff spot in 2022. So you look at it and you say, okay, now it's their turn to win this division. You can't have it where you're going to talk all this trash and be one of those teams that is putting themselves out there and not cash in. You have to win this division. You have to hopefully secure that home playoff game. I think that's their best chance of actually getting to the postseason and winning a postseason game in 2023, which would be the ultimate goal, to secure a playoff win, something this fan base hasn't seen in so long, since 1991. Man, you just look at how far back that really is. 91, to see the playoff utility, it's got to start to end. And I think what the Lions have did and what they've executed in their roster moves has put the organization in, really, in my opinion, worthy of banging the table, worthy of, you know, being excited, as Brad Holmes tends to be, in regards to everything going on with the Lions. So that's why everybody's excited. Everybody's really anticipating what's going to happen this year. Is the Lions are, for the first time in probably 15 years, have a realistic opportunity to walk in there and win the NFC North. And that's a starting point. And then we'll see, you know, can this young group really adapt to the next level of football, which is still completely different than regular season football. The pressure's amped up, mistakes are amplified, you got to play even cleaner, you got to execute at even a much higher level. So I'm fascinated to see just how this football team progresses in 2023. Now, in the last couple minutes here, the last segment of the podcast, came across an article from a sports radio host and a longtime columnist, longtime writer here locally, that was a little bit critical of a decision that general manager Brad Holmes made. And it was a very interesting look at a situation that maybe could have went even better for the Lions. And I'm talking about Pat Caputo from 97.1 The Ticket, longtime Oakland Press columnist, longtime sports writer, had even covered the Lions as a beat writer. So he has vast knowledge, a vast array of history, and a vast array of knowledge in regards to all sports, notably baseball, but very well-versed in hockey, well-versed in all things Detroit sports. That's why you see him on television. That's why you see him hosting a show on one of the premier radio stations in town. And he had a strong opinion about the Detroit Lions deciding to move on from DeAndre Swift. Now, I disagree with Pat's opinion. His take is that the Lions gave up capital by potentially moving on from DeAndre Swift too soon. That potentially you say this, and his take is, I think, very reasonable to discuss and look at. The take is that if you just keep DeAndre Swift on the roster for the early part of the year, let's say a team like the Bengals or a team like the Bills or the Chiefs or, heck, even, you know, in the division, because the Lions aren't averse to trading the division, the Packers or somebody that is in contention, or the Jets, maybe even the Jets. You know, they're a team that's on the rise and that's looking for greater things. Maybe a team like that has an injury, an unforeseen situation happen. Now you have a DeAndre Swift, and you recognize that what the Lions got, I believe, is a 2025 fourth-round pick. And naturally speaking, you know, I know DeAndre Swift did come out and say that, hey, he was, you know, surprised a little bit that the talk wasn't really with the organization. His agent gave him a lot of the information, that there wasn't maybe direct communication with Brad Holmes about being traded. But you look at it and you say that probably there was a little bit of, you know, DeAndre's agent discussing with the Lions a contract, and when the vibe wasn't there that it was going to be something that was going to be mutual in terms of a long-term agreement, then it probably was not maybe from DeAndre directly, but the agent's like, okay, make the situation better. So maybe directly wasn't telling the Lions, trade me, but I don't think that a trade like that just happens all of a sudden without DeAndre being aware. But DeAndre said that he was surprised and still showed the grace and appreciation for the Lions. But you look at the situation with the Lions, they quickly moved on. They went to Jahmyr Gibbs, they moved on, and based on their evaluation, they probably weren't going to commit to DeAndre Swift long term. So it's a win-win situation now. But the take is from Pat Caputo is that a team that maybe would have been more desperate, you keep DeAndre Swift on the roster, you still see a talented player, even if he's hurt. You obviously, you know, DeAndre Swift is not widely viewed as a RB3, but if you have him on the roster, he can make plays. And even if you get him for a couple games early in the season, he does showcase a skill set that is unique that another team might even be willing to part ways with a second round pick in the season because of their desperation. And I understand that. I understand that maybe it was a situation that the Lions really wanted to get out of, and they wanted to move forward and grant Swift the opportunity to have a chance to play with his hometown team, to do right by him, which was really solid. I mean, they didn't send him to the Bears. They sent him to the defending NFC champion and a team that is poised to have another long playoff push. So you get future draft capital. I know it's in 2 years, and I know you had an opportunity to make that move to make things easier. I felt it was the right time. I don't think that DeAndre Swift was going to be, and you got to look at it too. Rookie minicamp is coming up, and OTAs continue, and off-season workouts and mandatory minicamps are going to come up. The first time DeAndre Swift steps foot back in Allen Park, it's all going to be about how'd you feel about Jahmyr Gibbs? Do you feel like your role's diminished? How come you didn't sign a long-term contract? Revisiting all those questions about his toughness. Hey, you missed a lot of games last year. Does it signal to you that the organization is not viewing you in a positive light, that they went out and drafted a running back? And organizations don't like that. Players don't like that. So I understand why they did it right now. But I also understand Pat's point of view in that you maybe could have gotten more. But at the same time, you can't, you know, hope that another team is going to suffer a significant loss. You can't do that. You got to live in the time where you say, okay, a team is offering a draft capital right now and we want to do it. And I think the Lions also wanted to get rid of that kind of, you got to look at it like this. And guys, and this is hopefully intended for those that just get way too emotionally invested in the players. Yes, it's great to cheer your players on, but at some time you got to put on your GM hat and say, and people always wonder why, at All Lions, why do you guys always target free agents and look at new players? Because that's what general managers do. General managers are always, they don't just watch football and say, oh, we got these 90 players, they're good. They're always shuffling. They're always saying, okay, is this player better than this player? And so that's what we do. We always debate because, again, hearkening back to what I said earlier, the Lions have only had one playoff win. So I like the players. I like getting to know them. But if there's a better player, I'm similar to a general manager. Cutthroat, boom, gone. Get a new player. Get somebody better. So you know, in regards to the question this weekend, why did you guys write about Nick Foles? I think Nick Foles is a little bit better than Nate Sudfeld. So bring him in. So, and I think some players just get way too emotionally invested. Some fans get way too emotionally invested in their players. So there's opportunity to improve and move on. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is just better than DeAndre Swift. I think that the Lions upgraded. And when you look at roster construction, I think that it's really imperative to understand that the Lions are constantly looking for new players, constantly looking for improved competition, constantly looking for players that are going to be able to step in and meet the goals. That's a cutthroat business. You guys got to remember. And it was ingrained in me, and I definitely take that stance. NFL, not for long. And that means that, hey, if there's a young cat that's faster, stronger, then he's going to take your job. But you do have to remember that what Brad Holmes did was he set out to bring in and infuse the roster with players that that his regime wanted and his regime scouted. So you saw TJ Hockenson gone. You saw DeAndre Swift gone. You saw Jeff Okuda gone. All those players we've included in trade stories. Why? Because we inherently know that when a new general manager comes in, the loyalty is naturally more in line with those players that they brought in. And that's how it goes. It's natural. It's tried and true. It's not any new phenomenon. And any scout will tell you that a general manager is always going to lean more toward and give more chances to those that he brought in. So if a new general manager comes in 4 years and Jameson Williams is still acting the way he's acted early on, then he's going to be gone. And that's just the way it is. And so you hope that you understand that, hey, this is the business. That's the name of the game, which is to go out there and find new players for the Lions. And I think that the decision to move on from DeAndre Swift, really, to agree with what Brad Holmes said, win-win for everybody. You don't want the added distraction or noise in the locker room. You want to give DeAndre Swift a fresh start, and you sent him to a team that is positive. So you do right by the players, which goes a long way to the players in the locker room. Like, hey, you didn't send him to a situation like the Bears that's never going to be positive. You sent him to a team that's going to win. And I understand the take, and I understand those that said, hey, why not just keep DeAndre Swift? But you really, similarly, you have a player in Jahmyr Gibbs that really kind of fills that skill set and maybe even does it better. That's the part you guys got to be accepting of, is that maybe Brad Holmes targeted a player that is even better than DeAndre Swift. And I kind of agree with that. When you look at the tape, I think Jahmyr Gibbs can extend plays on the ground with the rushing attack, has the potential to be an explosive player for many years to come. And I think that the trait that the Lions are going to find appealing is, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a gamer and be available. I don't think he's going to wear down and suffer as many injuries as DeAndre Swift did early in his career, because you got David Montgomery, you have an offensive line that is talented and can do some things to help out running backs. So all in all, I think it was a great trade for the Lions, a good decision to make that move and to move forward. So in the coming weeks, guys, previewing the next week at All Lions, we're going to have coverage about the schedule, which is expected to come out on Thursday. Maybe another podcast looking at reviewing how many primetime games the Lions have. I think probably two or three. Obviously, you have Thanksgiving, maybe one Sunday night game, Monday night game, maybe one Thursday night game in that combination. Maybe you get three. I would be surprised if you get 3 to 4, or, you know, you always got to count Thanksgiving. I know it's not, you know, it's prime time. So there's one. I think you get two additional games there on top of the Thanksgiving game, whether it be a combination of Sunday night and Thursday. I hope they at least get one opportunity on Monday Night Football, because it's a football team that is going to be definitely a team to watch throughout 2023. So look for the coverage, kind of obviously the schedule game we all play. So make sure you stay tuned to All Lions for all your analysis, highlights. Thank you for keeping us in the mix. Daily videos, podcasts, a multimedia view and approach of covering the Lions. And then next weekend, get ready. It's rookie minicamp. We're going to get our first look at the Lions rookie class. And we'll have insights from all the rookies, their experience. We'll have a chance to see some observations. So we'll be there, boots on the ground at Allen Park, and having an opportunity to cover the Detroit Lions from an insider's perspective has been great over the past 5 years, and we'll continue to do that, bringing you great audio content, video, and a full 360-degree view of the Detroit Lions. So everybody, bang the table. Have a great rest of your weekend. Let's go. And this growing rivalry between the Lions and Bears fans is going to be great to watch. And hopefully at the end result will lean in the favor of the Detroit Lions. Thanks, everybody. Look for new Bang the Table podcast probably every Sunday, maybe one midweek show every now and then when something big happens. But want to continue to grow this. Thank you for the great reception. Been doing this for a while, but now we have an official title for this All Lions podcast. Bang the Table. See everybody next time.